Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. I remember a song we used to sing in Girl Scouts a long time ago. Make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver and the other is gold. Do you remember that? So definitely keep your old friends, but here's a new one for you to meet today. His name is Tony Giles, and he goes by the name of Tony the Traveler. The first article about Tony is one that I noticed in my summer of 2018 issue of the Lonely Planet magazine. It's a question and answer article under the headline, Meet a Traveler. This is questions and answers with Tony Giles, totally blind and partially deaf world solo traveler. This 39-year-old British-born global traveler and author, who has shared a series of e-books documenting his adventures, has a unique and inspiring perspective on seeing and experiencing the world. The interview for Lonely Planet was done by Cindy Geyer. The first question she asks is, what is your first travel-related memory? His answer, Tony's answer, going from my home to school by taxi every day when I was five. It was an hour-long journey of some 20 miles, and I used to get carsick in the beginning. And then she asks, well, what is your favorite destination? And answer, New Zealand is my favorite country out of 127 nations that I have visited thus far. I like to live there, probably on the South Island. The weather reminds me of England. It's often wet and cold and windy. The people are so friendly and relaxed, and the country's nature is fantastic. You don't have to see it to enjoy it. Open spaces, long isolated beaches with no one on them except for crying seabirds, the smell of the salt air, and sometimes stinking seal colonies, towering mountains, and huge glistening lakes. What more could a traveler ask for? The next question, what places are high on your bucket list? He answers, Myanmar, India, Galapagos Islands, and more of Ecuador. The next question, has being blind and partially deaf led to developing specific skills for traveling? He says, I have learned several skills to enable me to travel successfully and largely independently. For example, I had to learn to be organized, have copies of my travel documents with Braille labels to identify each document, and carry a spare long cane, which folds into four pieces. I carry spare hearing aids and hearing aid batteries, because in many countries, this equipment is almost non-existent. I had to learn how to trust people, to help me cross roads, to get good and exact directions to my location, and to get correct bus or train or subway information. I learned to judge a person's character by listening to their voice, what they said or didn't say, their mannerisms, how they acted around me and reacted to me and my blindness. I learned to sense people's energy, positive or negative. I had to develop a system for handling different currencies and recognizing the various denominations of a particular currency. The next question he asks is, what might our readers be most surprised to learn about your life and travel? And he says that I travel cheaply and that I don't or very rarely stay in hotels. I like to stay in youth hostels where a room is shared among four, six, eight, or more complete strangers. This is how I find companions to help me get to places of interest, and how I often make friends. I now couch surf via an online network of mainly local hosts who offer a couch or a bed for free to like-minded travelers, with the aim of the project being to encourage people to share travel ideas and culture and create friendships and openness. The next question she asks, what would you like for people to understand about travelers with disabilities? And Tony answers that they are, in general, no different from anybody else. Disabled people may require a little more assistance on occasions, especially with accessing some buildings and public transportation. Some adaptations to buildings, transport, roads, sidewalks are needed, but many of these adaptations would benefit non-disabled travelers and the public as well. The last question that Cindy Geyer asks is, what has been your most unforgettable travel moment? And Tony Giles, Tony the Traveler, answers, setting foot on the Antarctic continent and feeling the crisp, cold air on my hands and face and the crunch of the shingled beach and icy snow under my boots. All this was remarkable. Also hearing a humpback whale breach very close to the ship's side on that same trip. This was beautiful and amazing. Questions and answers from The Lonely Planet as asked by Cindy Geyer. And the traveler is Tony Giles. We'll hear lots more about Tony Giles and his adventures coming up right now. The next article, the next information comes from his own website, Tony Giles' website. The website is www.tonythetraveler.com. You can probably spell those words, Tony the Traveler, if you want to check the website, except please note that he spells the traveler part with two L's because that's the British spelling. So it's T-R-A-V-E-L-L-E-R, tonythetraveler.com. The headline reads, Tony Giles, blind traveler and author. He says, I was born Anthony Eric Giles in the seaside town of Weston-super-Mare in southwest England on the 6th of September in 1978. I was about 9 months old when a problem was discovered with my sight. It was eventually realized through an ophthalmologist that I had a rare genetic visual impairment. I was born with cone dystrophy and photophobia. This means I have no color nerves in the back of my eye, greatly exposing my optic nerve to light, hence my photophobia, which is also called light sensitivity. I spent my first few years of life living in darkness wherever possible. I was eventually given dark glasses, which I wore indoors and outside, until about the age of 15. I played in the street with my non-disabled friends, learning to listen for traffic. My street was a cul-de-sac, and I knew the traffic came from one direction only. I attended a day school for the disabled in Bristol from the age of 5. This was a journey of 20 miles in a taxi. I was often carsick, as you heard in that introductory interview. By using my light sensitivity, I learned to read and write. I could see large black lines on white paper. I learned the alphabet and numbers. I also learned to play snooker by detecting the different balls through shade. I had my rods. These are the nerve cells that help you see black and white images and shade. However, by the age of 9 or 10, this light vision was beginning to lessen. My eye condition has never changed, but my pain threshold became stronger and my light sensitivity lessened as print became smaller and more complex. I stopped using my lenses as it became harder to view objects. By the age of 10, I had stopped learning and needed a new medium to continue my education. When aged about 6, it was discovered that I was partially deaf in both ears. This could have come from a related genetic condition, but it's not yet known. I was given analog hearing aids. My hearing has become progressively worse over the years. At present, I am approximately 80% deaf. This is considered severely deaf without my hearing aids. I now wear digital aids, which are fantastic and give me roughly 80% hearing capacity in a one-to-one conversation in a quiet room. This is reduced in crowded places or on streets that have busy or noisy traffic. In the spring of 1989, I was sent to the boarding school for the blind and visually impaired in Coventry. I was aged 10 and a half. It changed my life, and this is where I eventually gained my independence. I spent 6 years at what's called the Exhall Grange School in Coventry, and this is located in the West Midlands of England. I was given mobility training, whereby I learned how to use a long white cane, how to catch public transportation, and find locations. I received fantastic training. I also learned Braille, the blind person's method of reading and writing through a series of 6 raised dots in 2 vertical lines of 3 each. These 6 dots in different combinations create the entire alphabet and all the numbers. I used it up to A-level mathematics. The A-levels are academic subjects a student can take to enter university in the English education system. I engaged in all subjects from pottery to swimming, chemistry to athletics, as well as the usual academic subjects. I took my GCSE exams. These are exams taken at the end of high school or secondary school in England, and they're taken at the age of about 15 or 16. So he took these exams in the summer of 1965. The summer of 1995. He says, I passed the majority of my subjects with a C grade, but gained a B in information technology. I failed my English and my math tests. I next went to the Royal National College for the Blind in Hereford to undertake my A-levels. I had wanted to become a physiotherapist, but was informed that having a dual disability would prevent me from pursuing this career. I later discovered this was incorrect. At boarding school, when I was in Coventry, I had been exposed to children with different disabilities. This gave me a sense that being blind and partially deaf were not the worst disabilities in life. Some of my friends had walking difficulties, speech impairments, asthma, seizures, and a variety of other conditions. I considered myself lucky. My best friend had muscular dystrophy, a muscle-wasting disease, and he was slowly dying. This had a significant impact on me. He died just as I began my courses at RNC Hereford in October of 1995. My dad had died of old age only 2 months previously, and I found myself in a strange place, without friends, alone, and full of grief. I eventually turned towards alcohol and my studies as a refuge. I retook my GCSE English and math tests and passed them successfully. I also took A-level history in my first and second years, and I studied A-level math and biology in my second and third years. I passed all 3 A-level subjects, gaining a C in history and D's in biology and mathematics, respectively. I wanted to study 18th and 19th century British history as a degree, but I could not find a suitable course. A history tutor suggested American studies to me, and after researching the subject, I applied. I was accepted into a course at my second choice university in Northampton and went off to study and learn about life for 3 years in the East Midlands. I knew something of America before I began my degree, having been on a school trip to Boston, Massachusetts as a 16-year-old in 1995. I had also visited New York and Washington, D.C. with a disabled friend in August of 1998, just before I began my university course. I was given the chance to study in South Carolina through my American Studies degree, so I went to Coastal Carolina University in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, in January of the year 2000. I spent 4 months there in the South, learning about American culture and life before going traveling around to California with a fellow student from Australia. I also visited New Orleans and Hawaii during that trip, getting completely inebriated in the process. I attended University College Northampton, which is now called Northampton University, from 1998 to 2001, gaining a 2-in-1 degree with honors in American Studies. I did not attend a university for the blind or disabled. Thankfully, none exists. I went to a class with other students, most of whom were non-disabled. I was given a grant from my local education authority to purchase computer equipment with speech software. This was to help me write essays and to read handouts and books. Academic texts are extremely difficult to obtain in Braille, and Braille is so bulky and cumbersome to read. More academic material has since become available on the internet, but in 1998, this was less available, and I was still learning the basics of computer technology. I was a confident typist, having been taught touch typing at school, but speech screen reading software was still at a reasonably early stage, and I hadn't been exposed to much at this point. I can touch type without speech, But having software that reads every letter I type and the entire screen if I command it makes studying, researching, and writing much easier. I employed fellow students to help me research books, find quotations, and correct my spelling and grammar. I have a scanner with speech software which allows me to read any typed text, including my mail. This vital piece of equipment enabled me to function at university at the same level as sighted students. I had to scan the books myself and then listen to the entire text. This took twice as long as a student who read with sight, but it made me more determined to learn. Between October 2001 and March of 2002, I traveled around part of the Southern Hemisphere. I backpacked unaided around Australia, New Zealand, part of South Vietnam, and spent a week in Thailand. It was during that trip that I was diagnosed with high blood pressure and kidney disease, a condition that gradually deteriorated. In December of 2008, I underwent a kidney transplant operation after receiving a live kidney from my stepdad. The operation for both of us was very successful, and after a recovery period of approximately 3 months, I returned to traveling in the UK and then went abroad after 7 months. My kidney function dropped to just under 11% before my operation, and I only missed needing to have dialysis, which is an artificial kidney that functions by machine. I only missed that by about a month. It's still unknown why I have this condition. It could be genetic, but doctors are still unsure. After returning from traveling in 2002, I stopped drinking alcohol altogether, and with the help from some close friends, became clean. I was on the verge of becoming a full alcoholic. I have been clean since September of 2002. In October of 2002, I began a one-year master's degree in transatlantic studies, which is, in other words, the history of U.S. foreign policy. And I did this at the University of Birmingham in England, graduating in December of 2003. January of 2004, I undertook an epic backpacking solo world journey, visiting parts of South and North America, Mexico, Cuba, most of Southern Africa. During that year-long journey, I ventured to most southern part of the South American continent. I also undertook my first solo hike in the Rocky Mountains of Canada, and technically speaking, put my feet in the Arctic Ocean. This was when I actually entered the water off of Churchill in the northern part of Canada. In February of 2005, I rented my first flat. It was in Erdington in Birmingham in England, and I began writing my first travel book. Between June and October of 2005, I visited several European countries, most notably Italy and Germany. Between 2006 and 2008, I revisited the U.S. and all... Oh, wait a minute, I better backtrack on that. I revisited the U.S. and Canada, traveling to the remaining U.S. states and Canadian provinces. I can now say that I have visited all 50 U.S. states and all 10 of Canada's provinces. In mid-February of 2008, I crossed the Arctic Circle by boat off the coast of Norway. To date, I have visited 122 countries, totally blind and partially deaf. I have bungee jumped 16 times, skydived 3 times, been zorbing twice, both times in New Zealand, driven jet boats, driven a large Jeep, ridden motorcycles, jet skied, and water skied, just to name a few of my activities. In 2004, I nearly drowned while whitewater rafting on the Zambezi River in Zambia, South Africa. A frightening but a thrilling experience. At present, I live in Tegonmouth in Devon by the sea in England. My family consists of my mum and my stepdad and one sister who is 8 years older and one brother 6 years older. I have 2 young nieces from my brother. None of my family is disabled in any way. My hobbies include playing the drums, listening to late 1960s rock music, listening to sports such as football and international cricket on the radio, reading historical fiction, walking, sailing, attending rock concerts. Some of my favorite authors include Stephen King, Colin Forbes, Thomas Harris, Ian Rankin, Jack Higgins, and Alistair MacLean. My favorite football team, and by this he means his favorite soccer team, is Liverpool. I enjoy most cuisines except olives and salad. My favorite foods are pork or beef sausages and chocolate, although I do enjoy a well-cooked spaghetti bolognese. Black is my preferred choice of color. My favorite singer-songwriter is Bob Dylan. My favorite band is Led Zeppelin. I do enjoy other artists such as Jimi Hendrix, Jackson Browne, Neil Young, and Crazy Horse, also Iron Maiden, AC/DC, Janis Joplin, the early albums of the Rolling Stones, a group called Cream, Black Sabbath for their first 7 albums, Aretha Franklin, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and The Band. I have been fortunate to have seen several of these artists in live concerts. I plan to travel for the rest of my life and visit every world country. I've been in a relationship with a lovely Greek lady whose name is Tatiana. This has been for several years, and we have visited the USA together twice. Recently, we went to Australia, New Zealand, and Japan, and roughly half of Europe. My aim is to continue writing my travel books and eventually publish some travel fiction. One day, I would like to live in New Zealand with my partner, Tatiana, and open a hostel there. I would also like to attend a pottery class if and when I have the time. My biggest passion is traveling and hosteling. However, in the last few years, I've discovered that couch surfing is an even better way to travel. I have couch surfed in Venezuela, Tanzania, Uganda, Kenya, Indonesia, which was fantastic, and now Hungary and Japan. My next travels will include, or actually included in the fall of last year, Jordan, Palestine, and Israel. That was from October to December last year. And in this year, he plans to go to Egypt, Russia, and Greenland, among others. Now we've got some specific tips for you from the Royal National Institute of the Blind. This is advice from Tony Giles about Canterbury Cathedral. He calls it an accessible day out. He posted this at the end of March this year. The article leads with, Tony Giles has been blind since birth, but this hasn't stopped him from globetrotting for over 20 years. In this blog, Tony talks about why Canterbury Cathedral is one of the most sight-loss friendly landmarks that he has visited yet. He says, I was born with a rare eye condition called cone dystrophy and have been partially deaf since I was 6. I am now severely deaf and use digital hearing aids. I also have photophobia, which means that my eyes are very sensitive to bright light. I have never been able to see colors, but because I have my rods, which are nerves that allow people to see in dim light, I can see black and white objects. As I got older, my light sensitivity has decreased, and now I see nothing apart from occasionally being able to sense bright sunlight. But none of this has prevented me from traveling independently. My passion for travel. Growing up, I listened excitedly when my father told me about all of his adventures at sea when he was in the Merchant Navy. When I turned 16, I had the opportunity to visit the U.S. with my school. I enjoyed the new surroundings of a foreign city, the different accents, the talkative people, wider pavements. I wanted to discover more. The next section is called A Sight Loss Friendly Landmark. Earlier this year, my partner, who was also blind, we just heard about her, she and I visited Canterbury Cathedral, the mother of the Anglican Communion. The cathedral is one of the oldest and most famous Christian structures in England. Even though I'm not religious, I still love visiting historical churches as they are a fascinating part of British history. And unlike experiences I've had in the past, this was one of the most pleasant and accessible places I have ever visited. So what makes it so accessible? Canterbury Cathedral is not only interesting for its size, the architecture, and the stained glass windows, but also its magnificent tactile maps and audio guide. The free audio guides are available in English for all visitors with sight loss. The devices have tactile buttons to help make navigating them easier. Inside the building, there is a detailed 3D model of the cathedral alongside of a tactile floor plan. If you are unable to find any of these, speak to a member of the staff and they are happy to show you. The audio guide has a detailed description of the model and the floor plan. You can follow the directions along the cathedral by running your hands over them. while listening to the guide. This helped me to form an impression of the inner layout of the building in my mind's eye and to better understand the true size, scale, and layout of the cathedral. And it made navigating the huge monument much easier and more enjoyable later. The tour descriptive commentary is full of rich and intriguing information. It was great to be able to have full access and to not feel like we were missing out. My partner, Tatiana, and I were able to gain a basic understanding of the cathedral's importance in British history and religious culture, the same way a sighted person may. Allow several hours to fully explore this place. I could notice just from the way that the building echoed that it's huge. Unfortunately, we were rushed for time, so I'm going back for a more detailed exploration later in this year. It would be greater if other significant buildings and monuments throughout the UK could follow suit and also deliver similar tactile models and audio descriptions, like we found at the Canterbury Cathedral. I believe that it would greatly enhance the enjoyment and gratification to any blind or partially sighted visitor. Okay, so Tony Giles is the author of a couple of travel ebooks. The first one is called Seeing the Americas My Way. You can find this on Amazon, Apple, Google, or Nook. This is the Barnes & Noble product. These are ebooks. You can't get the actual physical copies. You have to be able to read them on some electronic device. The first one was Seeing the Americas My Way. The second book he's written are Seeing the World My Way. This book is also available for purchase from Amazon, Apple, Google, or Nook, Barnes & Noble. So we have Tony Giles, Tony the Traveler. And remember, when you're looking for his website, it's spelled with two L's. TonyTheTraveler.com, TraveLler, in the British way. Well, now to end today's program, I have a quote for you. Traveling leaves you speechless, and then it turns you into a storyteller. This was said by Ibn Battuta, who lived in the 1300s. He was a Moroccan scholar who widely traveled the medieval world. Over a period of 30 years, Ibn Battuta visited most of the Islamic world and many non-Muslim lands, including North Africa, the Horn of Africa, West Africa, the Middle East, Central Asia, Southeast Asia, South Asia, and China. This was in the 1300s. Near the end of his life, he dictated an account of all his journeys titled, A Gift to Those Who Contemplate the Wonders of Cities and the Marvels of Traveling. This is usually simply referred to as The Travels and is still widely consulted today. Ibn Battuta. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.